Very good morning to each of you, especially those who may be visiting with us. Glad that you're able to be here, and we do pray that you have safe travels if you're traveling this weekend. As we celebrate our country's independence, and we are very blessed to be in a country that has given us these freedoms. There are, understandably, many problems in our country, but we still have many blessings. In fact, as we think about the songs we have sang this morning and the title of the lesson, Praise the Lord, we have so much to praise our Lord. And I want you to think about that and meditate on that as we go through the lesson today about praising the Lord. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the lives you've given us, the land we live. And Father, we thank you and praise you for all the goodness and glory and mercies that you have bestowed on us. And Father, we thank you for the assembly today. We thank you for those who are willing to be a part of the worship and the lifting up their voices in song. And Father, we pray that what we do here, what we say here, will continue to impact our lives, our faith, as we go through the remainder of this day and week, and as you have given us the opportunity, our lives, to center around you and praise you. We do have so many things to praise you for, and Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, raised from the grave, and gives us that hope of eternal life. We thank you for the fellowship of the believers. We thank you for the communion that we have assembled with the saints to partake in. And Father, we just pray you continue to watch over us and bless us as you have. We thank you for all the good you do for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. In his book, The One-Minute Manager, Kenneth Blanchard recommends developing a practice of one-minute praising, as he calls it, and where a manager catches someone doing something right, and for 60 seconds, they compliment them. They point out the good that they have saw them doing. I believe that principle could be just as well applied to parents, spouses, friends, and neighbors. That if we catch someone doing something good, share that good word with them, encourage them for 60 seconds. And if you know and practice that, you will come to understand that saying something good and encouraging for 60 seconds is quite the challenge. It's interesting, though, in comparison, that many people don't hesitate to criticize, to complain, or let us know when we do something bad, and the time flies, it seems. But the challenge is to find something good and talk about that for 60 seconds. You know, that is true also in our Christian life. To think about the good, to think about those things that as God's people, as people who worship God, think about the good that's been bestowed on us. I believe the 60 seconds of praising would be ideal in our relationship with God. You know, when we think about praising God, it is really essential to our well-being, as in spiritual well-being. As we think about praising God, we think about all the things that God has offered us. I mean, we think about our salvation and our whole God's plan that he loves us and he died for us and he raised from the grave. We think about the church. We think about our health, and all these blessings that come from God. You know, it's easy to sit back and complain. It's easy to criticize. But boy, what a challenge to count our blessings, to heed the things that God has blessed us with. You know, the Bible instructs us to praise God. Over 268 times in Scripture, there is some aspect of the word praise or praising God that's mentioned. And so I believe the Bible is telling us it's very important, it's essential to our spiritual well-being. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Psalms 111. This is a praise psalm. This is a hallelujah psalm. And there is a number of psalms that are designed this way, praising the Lord. And this psalm is a reminder of the praising, of honoring, exalting our God. Now, in some of our Bibles, it may indicate, it may not, because it's hard to see in the English. But if you look at this passage in Hebrew, it's really an acrostic, where each verse is a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is not uncommon to Hebrew poetry. We see this in a number of places, Psalms 9 and in Psalms 10, Psalms 119. And there is this various method is used throughout Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, when we think about the structure of a psalm. But it's carrying the idea that in every aspect of our life that we can praise God. And so in something as very elementary and foundational as alphabet, we see that we have something to praise God for. So as we are talking about this idea of praising God and see the emphasis in this passage, the first question I have this morning is, what does it mean to praise the Lord? What does it mean to praise the Lord? Well, the psalm actually starts out that way, praise the Lord. It introduced the psalm, and it stands out from the acrostic. And so if you were looking at this in the Hebrew, you will see it's set apart. It's almost as if the psalmist is like the song leader. In a sense, he is calling the congregation to let us sing. So as Ryan, you led our singing this morning, and other song leaders, they come and say, let us sing. And that's the command, it's the invitation, it's an imperative. Let us sing. In this case, let us praise the Lord. Praise is the expression of homage. It's adoration. It's thanksgiving to our God, either by prayer. And the Psalms are also a prayer book. They're also songs to be sung. In our teaching, and really all expressions of joy that point to God can be displayed in our everyday life, our actions. And so we will see throughout the Bible that our behavior and our attitude is reflected and can praise God. In some of our translations, in Psalms 11, 111, verse 1, you might even see the word hallelujah. In fact, probably almost all of our footnotes have that expression. And so sometimes in our hymns, even today, we will sing the word hallelujah, and that's the Hebrew for this expression, praise the Lord, or the Greek is hallelujah. In both cases, it means praise the Lord. And so those who walked with God in the Old Testament times delighted in singing, praising the Lord, honoring Him with the fruit of their lips. Again, we see this throughout the Psalms, as well as other parts of the Bible. And it's not reserved just for the Old Testament people. We find that in the New Testament, we are taught to respond to all of God's goodness, His graciousness, His mercies, with praise. For example, in James chapter 5, verse 13, when James is talking about prayer, notice it's so close association with song. If you're cheerful, sing praises. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, notice again the connection with the words of our lips, the instruction, the teaching, the preaching, and our praise. Or 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 reads, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives. And God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice the emphasis on praising. As we serve and teach and preach and gather in Jesus' name, that we are to glorify Him and praise Him, the one who has dominion forever and ever, we are to exalt Him with praise. Revelation 19 and verse 5 says, and from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great. This praising God comes out of our reverence, our fear of the Lord, our respect, our humble obedience to God. You know, we spend much of our assembly together in praising God. Well, it is biblical. It is desirable for our relationship with God. but it's also a reminding of our devotion to God. See, as we think about this idea of praising the Lord, this is something that is essential to our life, our spiritual life. Philippians 4, verse 8, tells us as Christians to think. One of the things to think on is things of praise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 reminds us that one of our main purposes as Christians is to show forth the praises of God. When you think about it, there is so much to praise God. It is easy to get bogged down in the negative, the things that aren't right, the discouraging things. And I don't want to minimize those things. But I do want us to, for this moment, to think about the things that are good, the things that are praiseworthy. Praising our God, there is no excuse, there is no reason not to. Even in moments of bad, difficult times, praising is a part of our relationship with God. Praising is saying thank you for each aspect of God's divine nature. When we praise God, it helps us to expand our awareness of who He is and reminds us what He has done and what He is doing in our world and in our life. And so Psalms 111 points this out. It calls us to praise the Lord. And notice there are three areas that reminds us and teaches us to praise God. Number one, we are to praise the Lord for His works. Notice verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We are to remember the works of God. Notice as this assembly comes together, as the psalmist is talking about, we come together to praise the Lord with a whole heart of the assembly of the upright. You know, the proof of one's devotion, it is the praising the Lord is seen when the righteous come together. When the righteous come together, they are to assemble with the purpose of exalting and praising the Lord. Notice that throughout the Psalms, and even as we come in the New Testament, there is something very powerful, very important of coming together as assembly. Now, it's not taking away that there are times that we are to have that devotional time with the Lord in our private lives. But the private life, that staying in our home just to worship God is not necessarily the best when we understand what's going on here. A person must make the effort to praise God, to come together to exalt Him before others. It reminds me of Matthew 10:32. When we see that Jesus reminds us that those who confess Him before men, He will acknowledge before His God. And there is definitely an understanding throughout Scripture that we are to come together. The psalmist reminds us that as we come together as servants of God, that there is a confession of our God, acknowledgement, that there is a visual expression that is seen when we come together, that we are honoring God with others who are upright and righteous. See, the psalmist does not stay at home and worship in private. Again, there are times for that. But the psalmist is saying there is something very encouraging. There is something very powerful. There is something that is amiss if you don't come to the assembly. And so he comes together so we can praise God. And as we come together, we praise the Lord. What do we praise Him for? Notice the psalmist, His great works. They are countless, are they not? When you think about the works of Almighty God as recorded throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, there are many. The psalmist probably has in mind, and what we can compare to other psalms, His works of creation. As we think about the work of His creation, we acknowledge His great work. Creation calls attention to our Creator. Psalms 19, for example, says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So in other psalms, we can gather an understanding of the works of God. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalms 150, verse 2. And so we can imagine and understand God's great works. I don't have to explain that to you. You go out on a clear night and you can look up in the sky and see the magnitude of God's greatness through the stars and the planets and the moon, the beautiful sky. You can take a microscope and look and focus it in on a single cell and see the design and the way that little cell works and operates by design. We can see God's mighty works and offer him praise. I believe if we would just be honest and look in the mirror, we can find what the psalmist also says is true, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139, verse 14. There's no one like you. You are special. You are unique. You were designed by God. Isn't that worth praising God for? As we think about how awesome and wonderful our God is, he made that. His works are to be praised. As we continue on, we see how we are to remember these works. There's just not one way that we praise God in his works. Notice in verse 2, they are to be studied. And it carries the idea of careful pondering. We sought out his wonderful way. And so it's a reminder that we are to study, research God's works. And here it's not necessarily talking about Bible study, although we might be able to apply that, stretch that a little bit and apply that. What it carries the idea is looking at God's invisible qualities, his attributes in this creation. Romans 1 verse 20 comes to mind, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that are without excuse." Righteous people, upright people, find great pleasure in exploring all of God's working. And so we ponder it, and we are amazed by it, and we glorify God. But notice verse 4, he continues by saying his works are to be remembered. Not only do we ponder and study his works, but we remember. We cannot forget what we learn from God's wonders, God's works. Again, in this psalm, he's probably referring to the idea we see throughout the psalms, God's great miraculous work, maybe the flood, or probably more particularly talking about the Israelites being released from bondage out of Egypt, remembering the plagues and the Red Sea, and then the way God provided all the wondrous things throughout the wanderings, the manna, the quail, the water, etc. God even has designed within his laws in the Old Testament to remember. For example, the Passover. The Passover was a remember of God's great work of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we see even his other ordinances, his commands. All these were, we might say, designed for the Israelites to remember. If you recall, as we study through Joshua, as the Israelites now conquer the land, we see that there is a number of times that there was an event that took place, and Joshua would command the Israelites to set up memorial stones. We see one place in Joshua 4, and verse 1 through 7. These were reminders of God's working, interacting in the lives of the Israelites. And the Israelite parents and grandparents were to look at these stones and say, "Do you remember what took place here?" And tell their children and pass that great event, that knowledge of the Lord's working in their lives. And we see this was to take place not just in memorial stones and not just in feasts, but in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, we see the Lord teaching his commands will be upon their hearts, on their mouths, and on their instructions every day. As they rise, as they go to sleep, as they go throughout their day, over the doorpost, as we think about God's mighty works and remember them, we too, as Christians, are called to remember. Maybe not exactly these same events in the same way the Israelites were, but we do remember his great working in our world. We do understand in the New Testament, we remember the working of Jesus' miracles and how the apostles did miracles as well. And so we continue to learn from those miracles even today. We remember the Lord, the Lord's Supper, his great sacrifice, shedding his blood on behalf of sinful man. And we remember, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus tells us. And baptism. Baptism is just not for the remission of sins, but it is a reminder of what Jesus did at the cross. We see in Romans 6, 3 and 4. And so we die to our sins and are buried in the watery grave of baptism and raised to the newness of life, remembering what the Lord has done for us. We remember the words of Jesus. They guide us. They direct us. Acts 20 and verse 35, we are called to remember the Lord's words. We are called to remember we were once separated from in sin and separated from God. But now in Christ, we are united and separated no more. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. The whole Christian system is centered around remembering God's mighty works. That Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, brings us into a relationship. And that should be something we praise. For without remembering God's works, his wonders, we neither praise him nor know why we are a part of his plan. So we praise him by remembering his works, studying, pondering. But number two, we praise the Lord for his mercies. We praise the Lord for his mercies. Notice again the text in Psalms 111, verse 5. It says, he was given food to those who fear him. He will never ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are varied, and justice, all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprighteousness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. God has given us his mercies. Isn't that something to praise God for? Notice some of the mercies that are mentioned here. For example, food. Food, necessitance for our lives, the nourishment. Again, he may be referring to the manna in the book of Exodus that was provided for the children of Israel. But as we read through Scripture, we see that God still provides the righteous with the things they need. It may not always be the best of the best. It may not always be that 3-4 square meals a day. But it's what we need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following, we see Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount reminds us not to worry about what we will wear or what we will eat, that God will provide. God is a God of mercy. And he provides something as very basic as food. And also, we think about the great thing he provides is salvation. Where would we be without the salvation of our God? We are indebted to him. We rely on him. Only through him are we able to have salvation. It's salvation we must remember to praise God. Remember when Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2. As the angels appeared to the shepherd, they proclaimed and praised he is the Savior of the world. Throughout the book of Revelation, we see this constantly praising the resurrected Lamb, praising God for who he is. As we think about even the tribe that Jesus came from, Judah, meaning praises, we see that Jesus, his whole being, the whole plan of salvation is rooted and surrounded in praise. The early church began also with praising God, Acts 2, verse 47. We see also there are so many things that we can praise God for, the blessings we have. Think about everything that God has given us. He has blessed us. When was the last time we did count our many blessings? You know, we sing that hymn sometimes. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. When was the last time we did that? When you think about the land we live in, we think about our homes, our jobs, our shelter, our food, clothing, you name it. There are so many blessings. And one of the great blessings that we see that's often overlooked in our society is children. Our children are a great blessing from the Lord. Another theme that we see throughout Scripture. When was the last time you thanked God, praised God for our children? I'm reminded of Leah. Leah rejoiced at the birth of her son and cried out, "Now I praise the Lord," Genesis 29 and verse 35. And by that she named her little boy Judah. Again, the tribe that Jesus comes from is a tribe reminded to praise the Lord. Our worship and God's command and instructions, the Bible, our prayers, love, His justice, His faith, His mercy and patience, all are things that we are to praise the Lord. As we think about the things that God has done, have we given Him the praise for all these things? Have we really humbled our heart and exalted Him in praise? When we think about so many things that He's given us, aren't we blessed? We have a nice building to worship in. We have a place that's free from harm. The list continues. I came across in preparing this lesson a hymn that is written in the 3rd or 4th or 5th centuries. And it's no longer in our songbooks. Somewhere along the way it's gotten lost. It's only in the history books as far as I can tell. But the song goes this way, and early Christians are said to have sung it. If my lips could sing as many songs as there are waves in the sea, if my tongue can sing as many hymns as there are ocean billows, if my mouth filled with the whole firmament with praise, if my face shone like the sun and moon together, if my hands were to hover in the sky like powerful eagles, and my feet ran across mountains as swiftly as the deer, all that would not be enough to pay you fitting tribute, O Lord my God. What a beautiful hymn to remind us of every aspect of our life to praise the Lord. Sometimes young people sing a song taken from 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4, which goes, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, shall I will be saved from my enemies." God is truly worthy of praise. Amen. But number 3, we are to praise the Lord forever. The last verse in this psalm, in Psalms 111, reads this. It reads very much like a proverb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commands. His praise endures forever. Notice what is rooted in the praising of the Lord. Those who fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord, when it's stated in Scripture as it is here, always carries with it an action, a response. A person can say, "Well, I fear the Lord," but if they are unmoved or do nothing, then they really aren't fearing the Lord. And the idea that we see here is that those who truly fear the Lord will be praising Him forever. They exalt Him with the fruit of their lips. Again, in the New Testament, we see in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, "Through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge His name." In fact, God deserves to be praised every day. Psalms 145 verse 2 says, "Every hour of every day the child of God should seek occasions to speak humbly and lovingly." The psalmist reminds us of this. We see that it is the teaching throughout Scripture. See, the more we praise God for everything He has given us, the less we will criticize, see the bad, look down on His church. The more we praise Him in the church, the more that we will see His hand and Spirit working through the church. You know, you look at other religions of the world. You look at their prayers, but they have no praise. So many have teachings, but no thanksgiving. Christianity has someone to praise, someone to thank, because we serve a risen Savior. He is alive today. Sometimes, unthinkingly, Christians express no thanksgiving, no praising, no praying to our living God. What would make them any different than those who worship false gods? The Bible calls us to action. And one of those actions is praise the Lord. The Christian should praise the Lord and be done continually, daily, during the good and the bad. I don't know where you are today, but maybe you are challenged when it says during the bad. Because it is sometimes during the bad that words of praise do not come easily. I want to show you an example of a situation that was pretty bad, but they praised God anyway. It's found in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. It was at midnight, and there was Paul and Silas, and they prayed, and they sang praises unto God. There they were, prisoners, held against their will, for doing the Lord's work, mind you. And there they are, shackled, behind bars. We know the rest of the story. There was a great earthquake, and the Philippian jailer, out of that situation, he and his household were converted. But I remind you that they were praising God. At the darkest point of the night, they were praising God. At the lowest point of their ministry, they were praising God. In the worst of conditions, they were praising God. And these courageous preachers forgot about their shackles, their hopeless situation, and they drew near to God. Like Paul and Silas, don't wait. Don't wait for the good days. Don't wait for the sun of the morning to rise to praise and thank God. Do it now. Do it now. When the doors of your prison is shut, when it's the darkest of nights, praise the Lord. As we conclude this morning, James Rowe wrote the words of a song using the analogy of a drowning man and his rescue to illustrate what Jesus Christ can do for you and I. The song is entitled, we know this very well, Love Lifted Me. Notice the lines, one line and chorus of this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. In his love, the master of the sea has lifted you and me. He lifts us out of the miry sea when we confess his name and believe in him. He lifts us up out of the drowning situation when we repent of our sins and turn our back on the ways of evil, when we put our faith and obedience in him and are baptized. He forgives us of our sins. He lifts us up. Just as James Monroe exclaimed, love lifted me, love can lift you as well. Isn't that something to praise God for? Our whole salvation from a hopeless situation to a new beginning. Our sins had caused us to be lost, but now we're found in Christ. If you would be found in Christ today, we implore you and ask you to obey the gospel. Or maybe you've done that, and for some reason you find yourself in the miry clay, the miry ocean. You found yourself wallowing in sin again, whatever the case may be. Will you repent, be restored? We would love to pray with you and for you and encourage you. Come now to stand.